We are one. We are all Will.
Power up suits and welcome in to another episode of House Party Protocol. My name is Will, and with me today are the Will Migos. Yes, that's right. The Will Migos, right again. Starting with the one and only Will Schick. What's happening?
We said once it was going to happen again. They said we'd never ride again. Here we are, the three Wilmigos, making it happen. I'm having a great day. It's not sunny out, which I guess is bad. I don't know. But we're here. We're ready to talk about some cool stuff. It's going to be awesome.
I'm excited. And the other Will of this holy triumvirate of Wills is the one and only Will Pagani. What's happening?
Oh, not much, man. Not much. I do have a question, though. If at the end of the last episode we rode off into the sunset, are we now riding back in from the sunset, or is it like the sunrise? Like, how are we entering this cast, I guess?
Earth is round. We circumference the whole thing. That's how far we rode. That's how hard we ride.
That's a heck of a ride, my friends. Yeah.
I was picturing more of like a stagecoach situation where like the two of you are riding up, and then I'm there like John Wayne flipping the gun and being like, what's up, you partners? You know?
Fantastic.
That might be a bit of a dated reference, but somebody out there is going to get
it. Somebody out there has got it.
My grandfather would be proud.
There you go. I'm sure he listens to the show too.
He's not with us for quite a while now. But
oh, sorry. Oh, now I feel like
he's listening up in heaven, I guess.
Well, gentlemen, I really appreciate you guys coming back on the show. I'm very excited to talk with y'all about the updates to the banned and restricted list. I don't see any point in burying the lead. Let's get right into it. We have an update to this list, and I know that this is something that we talked about before, but for those that might be their very first time tuning in, what is a banned and restricted list to you guys?
Will Pagani, take it away.
I was going to say, am I the banned and restricted list? No. A banned and restricted list is something that we do here at Atomic Mass Games, which is meant to sort of enhance the experience of our players. And obviously by its name, we have chosen to ban some things, which is we suggest that players do not play with those things. And then we have chosen to restrict some things, which is players can play with these things, but only some of them, not all of them. To be specific, players in organized play events and players choosing to use the ban and restricted list should not play with anything on the ban list. And they may select two items from the restricted list. And as I just said, the goal of this, right, is to sort of create the best experience that players can have while playing Crisis Protocol by adhering to these things. And we've talked at length on this podcast even about why some of these cards are on this list and some of these items are on the list. And I'm sure we will do so again now. At least that's why I thought I was here.
Exactly, so, yeah.
It can be an adventure. Who knows?
This is actually an intervention, Pagani. We're here to talk about your serious, I don't know. You don't, taco addiction? That's...
Oh, man, I do love a good taco.
I haven't had like a good taco in so long because of this lockdown, and it's killing me.
So first thing out of lockdown, is it a taco or is it a cheeseburger?
Oh, I can make an amazing cheeseburger, sir. But I have yet to master my taco game to the level that it needs to be at, so... Someday.
It seems it's a very subtle art, the taco.
100%. 100%. But now, that's not what we're here to talk about.
It absolutely is not what we're here to talk about. But now somebody out there is like, you know what? I'm going to pause this, go grab a taco, and then I'm coming
back.
Exactly. So, Mr. Schick, what you as kind of like the lead designer, when you're thinking of this stuff, do you keep any of the banned and restricted list stuff in mind when you're designing stuff?
Sort of. I mean, it's something that we obviously, as the banned and restricted list grows, it's something that we obviously take into account as we move forward with stuff. We're playtesting, obviously, under the assumption that players out there are following the guidelines that we set forth, because as Pagani mentioned, the reason that we're doing this is not because we just want to come in and like tell people don't use this. It's because our ultimate goal when making any game, but especially Marvel Crisis Protocol, is we want people to have the best experience possible. We want people to come to the table and have a blast and play with the Marvel characters that they love and tell great stories together and engage in that big old community experience that's known as fun, right? And fun together. Mm-hmm. So the banned and restricted list is our belief. If you utilize this, it creates the healthiest game environment, which then means everybody will have the most fun possible. The other thing about it, and I guess this kind of goes back to the question of do we design for it, is that we designed the game initially knowing that we would eventually have a banned and restricted list. So we talked about this in the last time we were here and the Wilmigos were together, but to kind of recap for people who might not have heard that cast, when you know, with all the experience that we've had working as tabletop game miniature designers, as players for a long, long time before that, when you approach something as exciting and as growth potential, like laden as a tabletop hobby miniatures game that our goal is to, you know, make for as long as we possibly can. And you know, I hope I retire and Marvel Crisis Protocol is still like out there being played on all the tabletops and stuff. You have to go into it knowing that, hey, things are going to evolve. Things are going to grow. Try as we might, we don't know what the future holds necessarily.
Right.
Like, we don't know what future interactions will be. There's so many characters. There's so many possibilities. And the fact remains that, like, with anything, you get better as you unlock more abilities. You harness your skill tree much better the more experience you gain with something. So with all these things in mind, you have to kind of go into it, I think, you know, and this is our mentality, with that humility saying, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to do things that seem like great ideas at the time, or that are not problematic at the time. And then later down the road, we're going to find out, hey, we missed something. We did this wrong. We didn't foresee this interaction with this new thing we made. What do we do about it? You know, and your options are you just live with it. And I think that is not the option that you want. If you want the game experience to be great and the best it can be, or you can kind of build in a structure that says, hey, you know, things are going to continually change and evolve. We need a way to address that, to make sure that everything stays healthy. It's like when you go and you plant a garden in your backyard. I'm going to guess that if you're a true gardener, you're going to get like hedge trimmers and clippers and like trowels and all that stuff. And then every so often you're going to look at the backyard and you'll be like, wow, it's a mess. Let's go back there and clean it up. And so you're going to, you know, you're going to wind up trimming, like pruning back bushes, cutting off things, like digging plants up that you don't want there anymore. It's the same idea when you're tending something like a tabletop miniatures game. So we certainly have the luxury in some ways of being able to know that the banned and restriction list allows us to do our primary goal, which is to make sure that every character is as amazing as possible. And that if we come up to a place where a single card from 2 years ago or the launch of the game is stopping us over and over again from being able to realize that goal of here's an amazing game. It's super fun and vibrant. And we're making the dopest Marvel characters that we possibly can that feel like they jumped off the pages of Marvel comics onto the tabletop. We can address that. Right. And our hope is to never have to use these tools. But the reality is that, you know, again, we're just people like everyone else. We're just working in an ever changing environment. And we're going to need these tools from time to time. So it's not something like you go in and you say, I'm going to make this character. And Pagani goes, well, that's not going to work well with this card. And I'm just like, ban the card. not at all. Right.
You don't get the ban hammer out and just start slashing.
I don't just walk around with my inflatable ban hammer. And then whenever Pagani says we can't do this, I just start smacking with the hammer until he like fixes it for me. It's painful to go through the process and be like, okay, are we going to make this decision? You know, we weigh what it means. If you start, you know, much like if you don't have the tool, if you use the tool too much, then all of a sudden your garden becomes a giant wasteland of like dead plants and tree stumps.
Right.
And that's just as bad too, right? It's
absolutely,
it's very careful and measured. You gotta think about things. Great power comes great responsibility, as they say.
As they say. And it's funny that you say that, like talking about using, wielding this power appropriately that you have with this. And I think the metaphor of the garden is really insightful. And to that, you know, this is a sooner update to this list than the original list when it came out. And is that by kind of what's been going on with the community, or is it just internally y'all have kind of been like, okay, maybe this is a problem? Like, how did it come about in such a quick turnaround, if you will, for this list? And I'll start with you, Pagani.
So whenever we're looking at anything to be included or excluded, I guess, taking off of this list, we always want to give the community time to breathe, right? So
yeah.
For those of you, spoiler alert, we added Hired Muscle onto this list. And Hired Muscle has been quite the buzz over the past couple months through Facebook groups and different chat channels and all that kind of stuff, and through the community in general. And of course, this all started with everyone calling for it to be banned. And now it's banned. So cheers, I guess. But it's very important to note that, like, when we go about this process, right, it's not just like some people online are saying that this should be banned, so let's ban it, right? It's very much like we're going to play some games internally, and we did. Shake and I sat down and we played a lot of Hired Muscle games. And that led us to a lot of realizations about the card, about the game itself. And honestly, we learned a lot from it, which I think we'll probably talk about later, is like the playtesting process and that kind of thing when we talk about specifically Hired Muscle. But when we're looking at doing something about a possible problem card or whatever, right, it's always, well, can the community adapt, right? Because when something new and powerful comes out, like, that's really cool. And that's great. And if we just, like, the next week it gets banned, it's really boring. And, right. And it's honestly very, like, heavy-handed on our part, right? We want to do our due diligence and do our research and make sure that this is actually a problem that we need to address, right? We want to make sure that there aren't emergent strategies that come out of the different play styles that are brought up here that can deal with these effects and these things, right? We're not just here to, like, slam that boffer hammer down, I guess, every time ban is cried out. Or we'd be banning a lot more cards, honestly. And our goal is to never actually ban anything, right? Like, that's the hope. Obviously, that's not the case, but that's always the goal going into these things. You mentioned pretty quick, I think it was about 6 months since the last one. We don't have, like, a specific frequency that we're planning for this, but we will definitely err on the side of less often rather than more often.
Yes.
Yeah. Is probably where the philosophy goes.
I think that makes sense. And I think that most people would line up with that kind of a thing, because it's like you said, it gets boring if all of a sudden it's like, you know, get your ban hammer out because the ban needs to happen right now. I think that's really great. And I was burying the lead a little bit, but yes, Hired Muscle is now banned. So that brings our banned list up to Drop Off and Hired Muscle. And before we talk about Hired Muscle, I want to talk about the restricted list, because I think Hired Muscle is kind of the bigger discussion around all of this. And the additions to the restricted list are All You've Got and a crisis card. It's the Panic Grips the City as Evacuations Continue. So a lot of people refer to that as Citizens or just Panic. And that's the one that's a B shape. And you grab the citizen token and you can spend 6 power to cash in the citizen token for 2 victory points. So what led to adding, let's start with the crisis. What led to adding that crisis onto the restricted list? And also with that, does this somewhat function? This is probably an additional question, but I'm going to do it anyways. Does this somewhat function as a quote unquote nerf to Asgard? And I'll start with you, Schick.
I think we're in weird water, because part of the reason that we even started having the discussion about panic or evacuation, whichever way you want to call it, came about through the hired muscle testing that we did. Pagani mentioned this before, that we, you know, when feedback started coming in and we started seeing more and more of it, we're like, okay, we need to sit down and identify if there's a problem. We do this every time issues get brought up in community, partially because there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of hot takes. People love their hot takes.
Love them.
There's no middle ground when it comes to online commentary. So when you get, you know, when you get trounced by something the first time, it's always, this thing is just crazy overpowered and I'm unhappy because I feel like it was unfair. And so I'm going to vent about it. And we all do that as people. There's nothing wrong with doing that. My assumption is that, you know, 9 times out of 10 or 99 times out of 100, the person goes back and, as Pagani mentioned, they do what makes these games so fun and enjoyable and what makes everybody love them so much is you go problem solve. You're like, oh, I wasn't prepared for this. How do I solve it? And we'll talk about this a little bit, especially in like our development panels and things like at Mini Stravaganza. But one of the things that I'm always looking for in games, one of the things that I love about tabletop miniatures especially, is the chance to crisis manage, to problem solve in game, to feel smart, to solve the puzzle. Yes. As Pagani pointed out, if every time somebody came online and was like, this thing's unfair, it's totally broken, and it just, we just were like, well, fine, they can't play with it anymore. Like, where's the enjoyment in that? Like, you're not actually solving the problem. As long as there are counterplays and solutions to it, obviously we're very happy with it. Panic or evacuation came about because in looking at the overall aggregate of what was causing the hired muscle discussion and where we kind of identified where issues were, we realized that that scenario can really skew hard if you're not prepared for it. And it does promote playstyles that maybe aren't the most optimal for the experience that we want out of the game, specifically the unique ability of that crisis to spend power and gain VPs. There's really nothing else that allows you to do that in such a simple equation, right? You have things like usurp the throne,
right?
Where you have to spend power, but then you have to do something else in order to reap the VP benefit. So we always knew that one was going to be kind of unique, and I'm sure Pagani will talk more about the thought process behind that crisis. But at the end of the day, where we determined was it's not such an issue that it necessarily needs to be on the banned list right now. There is counterplay to it. It is, I think, a really fun and intriguing scenario for players to problem solve and to utilize. But it's one where by increasing the opportunity cost in order to utilize that strategy, we hopefully will address issues about players abusing it. And I don't really want to say abusing it, but players using it to promote a play style or a play pattern that becomes really unhealthy for the overall enjoyment of the game, which is the, I grab the citizens, I don't really try to play the game anymore. We sit there and wait until I can score all my VPs.
Yeah.
You know, in our testing and stuff, there are counterplays to that. And I don't think that that's necessarily what has been occurring overall with that scenario, but it certainly is one of those things where now at the higher opportunity cost, you have to know what's going on. There's also the awareness issue, which I think that crisis is one that is not as commonplace as others. You know, it's certainly not talked about as much as gamma or other things.
Right.
So from a casual player perspective, somebody who doesn't read the boards and do all the theory crafting and know everything that's going on, if you get hit with we're going to play Panic, that's cool, and you're at the game store because eventually we'll all get back there, and that player pulls the, you know, non-engagement, I'm just going to grab this stuff and run away until I win kind of gameplay, and you're not prepared for that, you don't see it coming, it's going to have a very negative impact. It's going to create that friction of, well, this wasn't fun, and I feel like I got cheated. And so now players at least will be aware, hey, this is a card you should know, learn what it does, because you're going to want to know why is it on these lists, and it's going to improve that overall play experience because you're going to go into those games knowing what you probably need to consider in order to avoid the complete negative play pattern.
Right. Yeah, I think that's really kind of, you guys have talked about this before, about the NPE, the negative play experience, being something that is of utmost importance to avoid. And it definitely could feel like, especially the combo for Hired Muscle and Panic, to kind of make that negative play experience really hit hard. So with that, now let's talk about All You've Got and adding that onto the restricted list, because that's a card that has seen a lot of play, and there's been some specific plays designed around using All You've Got with Doomed Prophecy, with Field Dressing, all that stuff. And previously, you know, Doomed Prophecy and Field Dressing were on the list, but now you're adding All You've Got. So I'm sure you guys are familiar with the terms, the Widow Bomb and stuff. So was this added here just as a way to like, well, maybe we don't want somebody rolling 64 dice? Pagani, I'll take that one to you.
I mean, kind of, yes. I don't think it's as specific as that, right?
I got you.
That's certainly under the umbrella as to why this card is here. And I think it's really because it's a very similar card to Doomed Prophecy, right? Not in its effect necessarily, but in its sort of, if you were to put it in buckets, what bucket does it go in? I think All You've Got of Doomed Prophecy would go in the same bucket. And to me, that bucket is very powerful tactic cards that create very spiky turns. And what I mean by that is, like, you can have a huge jump in your damage output or efficiency or scenario presence or whatever category you want to put it in. And then you have a drawback, right?
Right.
So the drawback for All You've Got is you become dazed or KO'd. Drawback for Doomed Prophecy is you don't get defense dice for the rest of the game. So I think that the two cards are relatively similar in that respect. And Doomed Prophecy made its way on this list for a couple reasons, partially the Widow Bomb thing that you were talking about here, which has just sort of become more, I'm not going to say powerful necessarily, but more possible, right? Because now we have like Widow, which at the time of the original restriction was, I think, the only character with rapid fire. And now we have a whole bunch of characters with rapid fire, which obviously we knew were coming. You guys did not know yet. So we kind of preemptively hit Doomed Prophecy, right? Because we're like, okay, well, this is kind of an issue with Widow, and it's going to be a real issue when we have Widow, Mystique, Punisher, Deadpool, right? Like, we have all these characters that can do this thing. Then the counterplay becomes much harder.
Right.
So we kind of preemptively hit Doomed Prophecy for a couple reasons. One is that we kind of knew what was coming, and two is like the, well, if we give you awareness as to what's going on with this and sort of increase the scope on who's looking at Doomed Prophecy, the same idea here with All You've Got, right? Is this huge power spike turn, which can be combined with Doomed Prophecy and with Field Dressing, both of which are also on the restricted list, so now you can't do that.
Right.
But when those three cards are combined together, it just skyrockets, right? It gets crazy, crazy, crazy.
It sure does.
So once again, like, is that play imbalanced? Is it too good for the game? I'm not sold. I don't think so. But, and that's why it's not banned, for the record.
Right.
That's why we haven't started banning cards. If it becomes too good for the game, then that kind of thing. but it's spot on the restricted list is sort of like a, let's not let this get out of control and cause a lot of these blowout game examples that Schick mentioned earlier for players, right? Because it's not enjoyable to just randomly walk into a game, not really know what's going on, and then somebody hits you with an All You've Got and dazes or KOs three characters. You're like, well, that's a rough turn.
Yeah.
It's like, do I get to play this game anymore?
Yeah, and it's more of a rough turn when you don't know that's coming. Like we talked about, Pagani mentioned how all of this stuff is kind of centered around similar reasons as to what we did with Doomed Prophecy. Again, I think, you know, people like to be like, it's a negative play experience. Well, what does that really mean? Like, losing is not particularly fun for anyone. Nobody revels in losing.
Right.
But, you know, I think the difference is when you feel like when the loss feels like you were cheated, or what I like to say, because I don't like the word cheat, is bamboozled, because cheating kind of implies that you were trying to underhandedly win. Bamboozled is just like you came to the table expecting one thing and you got something else. And like with those cards, the Doomed Prophecies, the All You've Got, those kind of big setups, they take work. It's not like, you know, it's like Pagani said, you know, it's a powerful turn, but it's not an auto win. You have Absolutely. To like set it up. There's lots of counterplay to it. If you know it's coming, you can work around it. When it happens, it's really spectacular. What I always look for and what we talk about a lot internally is there's a lot of crazy stuff that can happen in a Crisis Protocol game. And it's designed that way. It's designed to have these big cinematic moments of like, oh my gosh, X character did Y, and then Y character stood up and did like Z through A to these characters. And that's really exciting. But in order for it to be exciting for everybody, you have to have that expectation of you didn't feel bamboozled. You at least knew it was coming. When you get caught unawares, it feels like a cheat. When you at least have some awareness of what's going to happen, when the other player pulls it off, it becomes something that both players can celebrate. And I think that's the magic of tabletop games in general, and something that is really important to keep in mind when trying to design and develop and do all this stuff. And even when playing, is that we're playing together. The game doesn't happen if one person is there and the other person isn't. Right. So as a design and development kind of philosophy, our goal is to create an experience where even when something goes horribly against you, the experience of it is a positive one. It's one where you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that worked. And you look at the other person, you're like, I can't believe it worked either. And you kind of like high five metaphorically over the table because we can't touch each other anymore in our new world. But you get to celebrate those successes and those things become stories, right? I always go back to the things that I remember most are not games that I won easily. They're games that I either had to like really grind out and come up with a brilliant solution to, or where I lost in spectacular fashion because my opponent just did something amazing. And those are the stories that we tell each other all the time, and they make us want to get back to the table because you create your own cinematic narrative with the other person. And it's those stories that really amplify. And I think those cards, you know, All You've Got, Doomed Prophecy, those cards do that. They're designed to do that. But they can, you know, without proper awareness, be a little too powerful, and they can lead to the other side of it, which is that friction that we talk about. Every player comes to the table wanting fun in their own way. How do you create, you know, an environment in which you minimize that friction as much as possible?
Right. Yeah. No, I think that's really great and very insightful in terms of like how you guys view this stuff and the community in general. And I love bamboozled. I'm not going to lie. I am definitely going to be taking that and using it every time I lose from now on. I was bamboozled.
It's a strong word. It's like baboon. I find anything with a lot of B's in it is very fun to say.
Absolutely. And if you can get the alliteration going, it's even better.
Bamboozling Baboons is definitely the name of some ska band that I will never start because ska is not marketable anymore.
But there was a time.
There was a time.
All right. So now let's talk about the big one. We've talked about Hired Muscle kind of indirectly and maybe a little bit directly here, and the Hired Muscle being banned. And like when you say banned, like that carries a lot of gravitas with it. And I know that when we talked about drop-off being banned, it was like, you know, it was always a problem and it was limiting to the design space that we could explore. I know that was one of the things you guys talked about before. And then Cable was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back. And with Hired Muscle, was it the play that has been going on and you guys internally testing those plays and those interactions and seeing what kind of experience that was, is that what led to this being banned, or was it a more of a limiting the design space again?
I'll take the onus on this one. I mean, Hired Muscle was just purely and simply a miss, you know, and it's like we talked about initially, you know, we know that we're not perfect. We know that there are things that are going to slip through the cracks, no matter how many games we try to play. And we test over 18 months, if not longer at times, with how the cycles work and how production works and all that stuff. And we have an amazing group of playtesters who pour their hearts and souls into like making sure that everything's as perfect and as balanced as possible. And we couldn't do it without them. And we play a lot of games internally. But at the end of the day, the number of games that we can possibly get in will never match what the community at large can do. So, you know, you do your best. And I think we try to be aware of everything that's going on, and we do as much as we can, but every once in a while there's an interaction or something that you just don't unlock. You don't see it. And part of that is, you know, you try to get the most eclectic, like, this comes back to everybody comes to the game differently, but everyone problem solves differently too. So you try to get the widest possible berth of testers, but you can't get everybody. Somebody's going to come up with the brilliant scheme or be like, hey, I can win this game by not playing this game. Like, there are many people out there who are just not that person. They're, once you tell them this is a game where you run to the center of the table and you fight each other and you know, you win via this method, but the game is about superheroes fighting, they'll never think otherwise. Right.
Oh yeah.
That's just, okay, this is what it is. This is what you told me. And then there are people who are like, well, I'm going to think outside the box, and sometimes really far outside the box. So
yeah,
it's one of those things where this is, again, why the banned and restricted list is so important, because there are unintended consequences. And I hope that we have done, you know, and the community has seen that we've done a very good job overall, thanks to our testers and the work we do internally, of making a very well-balanced game that has exciting moments and really powerful things. But, you know, by and large, everything is mostly in line and the game remains fun and exciting. Hired Muscle just happened to be one where we're like, in testing, you know, all the feedback was, it's good. It's weird. There's some strong plays, but it's probably not going to be very popular. How wrong were we? Here we are.
Yeah. Wow. That's definitely a surprising reaction there in terms of the from the playtesters. And it's interesting. So did you guys have someone like show you quote unquote the Hired Muscle play, or did y'all just kind of keep your finger on the pulse, maybe watch some battle reports or something like that? I don't know if anybody put them out there or not, and then try to set it up on the table yourselves, or did you just kind of like say, hey, what's breaking Hired Muscle? I think it's this, let's put it on the table.
Yeah, so when the hubbub began, I guess. I love the word hubbub.
The maybe hubbub. As,
more bees. I'm telling you, it's bees. B words are fun to say.
I'm a hubbubber.
You're a hubbubber.
Bees combined with R's are also excellent. But yeah, so like when it all sort of started and people were like, this is so crazy. Like, we have to instantly ban it. I'm like, all right, what's going on?
Right.
So then I start talking to people and I do all this kind of stuff. And I look at the articles that get posted and the battle reports that get posted and stuff. And I'm like, okay, this is the basic strategy here. And then I kind of sat down with Shake and I'm like, okay, so this is what's going on. Let's play some games. Let's see what's going on. Like, can we run through this stuff and sort of understand what's happening here? And yeah, sure. So at the beginning of it, right. A lot of the opinion was that like Spider Infected was just like unbeatable with Hired Muscle.
Yeah.
And that's not what our testing found. Our testing found a lot more problems with evacuation. Once we decided that we were going to ban Hired Muscle, we then were like, well, is evacuation still a problem? And they're like, well, probably. And that's why it's restricted now. Right. Obviously Spider Infected is not an issue. That really deems looking after the ban restricted, right? Like that's a core set crisis. It's been out for forever, and nobody's really done anything crazy. Like, it's been played and it's been effective, right? But it's like, it's doing everything that we want it to do, and it's living inside of the box that we wanted it to live in. And evacuation or panic, and sorry, I don't remember what we're calling it here, but that crisis with the incredibly long name and I'm gonna get off topic for a moment here, I guess.
How dare you?
Go ahead. And talk about panic for a second. But like that crisis really wasn't a playtesting miss, because when we playtested it, we were like, well, this could be a problem. Right? And we ended up deciding to print the card as it is printed, because it is a really fun crisis, right? And sort of when it's being played in the way that we envisioned it being played, it's very interesting, it's very exciting, it checks all the checkboxes that we want. But when we decided to push the print button, I don't know, whatever you want to do to print a card, I remember having the conversation with Shake where we're like, we'll see, this might be a BNR candidate in the future. And then here we are. So it's kind of interesting to kind of see how as metagames develop and as players find new and interesting ways to exploit things, how like the little tickle in the back of your head that's like, this could be a problem, right. Is sometimes right. And sometimes it's wrong. And I love it when it's wrong.
So. That's great. That's absolutely great. And it's funny, like the little tickle in the back, it's just great. And I know it's funny because like, I know there's things that have happened like throughout the course of this game so far. I know like for a long time, it was not realized that you could play field dressing on Hulk. You know, that was a thing that took a long time to quote unquote discover. And I like how Panic's been around for quite a while and it's kind of just now made its way to where it's like, it needs to be addressed. And I mentioned earlier the Asgard interaction specifically, and it feels like that crisis was made with like an understanding that Asgard's a thing and that gaining more than one power in a turn is a thing. But like, was that kind of where the conversation started of this could be a problem is because Asgard exists, or was it just in general?
I mean, I don't think it's Asgard specifically, right? Because there are a lot of other things that generate additional power. But right. it was always sort of that coming from the characters that can generate more than one power per turn have the potential to do things that are unique in this crisis, right? Mm-hmm. I remember when it was first getting tested, like Vision was a really big one we were looking at. Thanos was a really big one that we were looking at. Star-Lord with a power gem, I think, was another one, right?
Oh, yeah.
Was like, Star-Lord can play in the backfield, pick up a citizen, and then in like turn two or three, he can evacuate that citizen for 2 points. And like, is that good? Is that worth it? I don't know. It's this weird gambit where like, you really only score one extra point because if you just held onto it, you would score it the next turn. Like, so there's a lot of discussion that happened around that crisis and around the value of being able to pay power directly for victory points.
Oh, it's valuable.
But it's valuable for sure, right? But it's like, how valuable?
Right.
And it was sort of like the but like, I don't think it becomes an issue until you're really doing it like three times in a game, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, because of how like that jump happens for like 6 points versus 4 points, which is really like 2 points versus 3 points. Like it's a really weird dynamic. And it's definitely something to keep an eye on and learn from as we go forward, right? Like all of these things in the BNR, we learn from these things. It informs our playtest, it informs our design going forward for what we can get away with and what we can't get away with.
Right. Oh, I love it. I love it. And I think that one of the things that something like this does is just shows how y'all are just so kind of understanding of the thing that you've created, if you will, if that makes sense. Like, you know, you understand that this is a growing and evolving thing. And like you said, Chick, how all of the playtesting and everything is still nothing compared to what it's going to happen when it gets out there in the community. And I know like Hired Muscle as an example, I mean, I think it was literally days of it being out and somebody had done the play and it was like, oh my God, this is crazy. And
yeah,
it was
funny, you know, we talk a lot about hot takes and metering feedback and stuff. And I can't count the number of times where we post a reveal of something, a new character, a new card. And, you know, the first 15 posts are about how they've done it. They've ruined the game. It's broken.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this will be the only thing to play. Power creep. And then, you know, or they're like, this is, why would anyone take this? This is awful. Like, this is the worst thing ever made. No one will ever play this. And then you watch over time as all those things kind of meter out. Like Pagani said, you always have that tickle voice in the back of your head. It's like, did we make a mistake? Did we miss something? Should it have been this way? And you think about all the different playtest iterations that you went through. You know, at the end of the day, you know, if you've done it right and you've done your job, it always meters out. It's always heartwarming when those two viewpoints happen in the same comment thread. If half the people think it's completely busted and half the people think it's completely worthless, we always kind of joke, well, we did our job perfect. Because if people can't agree, then we've done our job. Because now it's about problem solving. One person sees gold, the other person sees lead. You know, great. Because they're approaching the game differently. They want to play a different style. It works with their play style versus someone else's play style. So, you know, the hired muscle thing, like when Pagani brought it up, I was like, oh yeah, I've seen those. I've been reading them. We're keeping up on it. We had a good discussion. You know, we started playing some games. We looked, and the other thing we do is we look at what's coming next. You know, not everything that we release is meant to have a solution right away. Like, part of the enjoyment and the fun of a living game is that you get to plant seeds that kind of bear fruit later. Right.
Right.
Spider Foes is a great example of this. We released the Spider Foes affiliation with Green Goblin because we knew we wanted Green Goblin out sooner rather than later. And he had to have the affiliation that introduced Spider Foes, because who else, you know, are you going to lead that with? And so we put it out, and, you know, everyone's like, well, the affiliation is really, it doesn't have enough people. And we're like, well, yes, it doesn't. Like, that's okay. Right. These characters will have, like, they'll have their time. And now we finally get to that payoff point where it's like, the seeds that were sown with those initial Spider Foes characters are going to like rush in. And all of a sudden, you know, hopefully that affiliation becomes this big thing that people get to explore and they get to see that evolution and growth. And to me, that's really exciting in these games, to kind of see those answers come later, or to have people be like, nobody knows how to handle this. And then the community starts to figure it out. Mm-hmm. Or we've kind of internally planned for how we want to roll different things out. In terms of like making sure that there are answers coming for things that exist. And hired muscle, like when we had our initial discussions, there were a lot of things that we knew were coming in that Spider-Man wave that have solutions that affect things. There were characters in the Inhumans that we thought, you know, had some plays against that, you know, Lockjaw and stuff. Mm-hmm. We knew that there were going to be more answers. But I think, as Pagani can kind of talk about, the counterplays were so narrow and so specific, even with the things that we knew were coming, it kind of hit all three of what Pagani calls the cardinal sins of a card, which inevitably led to it being on that ban list and being problematic for the game.
Yeah. So Pagani, do you want to talk about that?
Sure. Yeah, that sounds great. Yeah, so to me, sort of the three check boxes that Hired Muscle checked was, one, it's a very powerful card, right? It does a powerful effect. It does, it creates advantaged game states with very little risk to the player playing it. And you can define risk as in like retaliation risk or like opportunity cost. Like, risk can be defined in a bunch of ways, and I think it does all of those without a significant investment of risk, power cost, etc. So that's kind of step one, is it expensive? And once again, you can define expensive in a bunch of different ways,
right?
Number two is there counterplay? And the answer is yes, there is counterplay to Hired Muscle, but it requires very specific things, as Schick was just saying. So Deception with Mystique, for example, is a great play against Hired Muscle, right? But then everybody has to play Mystique. Like,
right.
Okay, well, that's not great. And you're like, okay, cool. What else? Okay, we got Enchantress. Enchantress is really strong. Cool. Now everybody has to play Enchantress to deal with Hired Muscle or Mystique. So we have two options, right? And I'm not going to go through the full list, right? But like, I mean, that is almost the whole list. But
right,
that's kind of my point. And there are other things that are strong against it, like Thanos and Magneto, and there are all sorts of plays that you can do against it, right? But like, it requires five specific things, right? Whatever the number is. And I don't like that personally. I want strategies to be able to be countered by what players want to play, not what they have to play. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say that, like, if you're trying to play the game competitively and think about it in a very efficient, focused direction, that you should be able to play literally anything you want and have an exact equal chance of winning. Schick will talk about a lot of the times when we balance things, right? We're not necessarily looking for perfect parity, because then we're playing chess with only pawns, right? Like, right. Everything has to be identical. No, that's not what we're going to do, because that's not interesting and that's not fun. But when we are designing things, we want things to fit inside of their point range. And we want them to be good. And we want you as a player to be able to find the synergies between them and play the things that you like to play and have a reasonable chance of winning your games, right?
Yeah.
That's always the goal. So if we start saying things like, you have to play two of these five options to have a chance against Hired Muscle, that's a problem. And then this is exacerbated even farther by one of the best cards against Hired Muscle is Hired Muscle. Like, right. So that's like, so now we're saying take two or three of these other things and the card that is causing the problem. So, and that's, there's a discussion we had there, like, and I guess I'm just off topic Pagani today, but does that make it, restricting it, actually increase the power level of Hired Muscle? Because the best way to beat it is Hired Muscle. So then just does everyone take Hired Muscle if you restrict it? So because they have to play it against, even if you don't want to play a Hired Muscle plan, you have to have it against the Hired Muscle plan.
Right.
So now we're back to banning. And then sort of number three was, it's also just not fun. Right? Like,
yeah.
And like we talked about All You've Got, right? All You've Got is really fun to play. Right? Like when you get that huge power spike turn and you pull it off, you feel like a god. Like you're like, this is it. I'm the best MCP player that's ever existed. I got my thing to happen. We did it. This is great. When you pull off like the perfect Hired Muscle play, you're like, I guess I'm going to go sit in the corner for three turns and then evacuate a bunch of civilians. Like, like nobody's having fun. Nobody has enjoyed this game. You haven't enjoyed the game. Your opponent certainly hasn't enjoyed the game. So that's sort of like strike three, I guess. Not that I really know how to play baseball, but
I understand that. No, it's and that I think is kind of, at least from my perspective, like I in the wild never just ran into Hired Muscle or the play, as you know, whatever you want to call it, and I had some people explain it to me, and it was one of those things where it's like, okay, I see how like the play in and of itself is strong, but more so it's just what kind of game, like that sounds like so just no fun at all to just run away, and so I think that is, it really again speaks to the philosophy that you guys have in trying to kind of live on the tenets of what the game is. And it's a superhero battles game that has objectives, right? So I love what you guys have done with the game overall and with all the new stuff, the new reveals and everything. And Schick, you mentioned Spider Foes. I'm really excited to get some of those new ones on the table there. Can't wait to see what you've got for the Lizard and Kraven. Talk about a cut that most people probably didn't see coming. I'm very excited for those.
Kraven cuts do not stop.
Wait until you see that card. That Kraven card. It's probably my crowning achievement because Pagani still complains about it to this day.
Oh, wow. So you're saying that Kraven's already that little tickle in the back of your mind that might need to be restricted. I see.
No.
Not the tickle.
No.
Good.
I guarantee you that you will never see that Kraven card in any real list ever. Like, it's so amazing for exactly what it is.
I love it. I'm excited.
It's the deepest cut I've ever seen. Because, like, I was like, Schick, what is this? He's like, well, it's this. I'm like, Josh, what is this? And Josh is like, I think it's this. And I'm like, Dallas, what is this? And it's super deep cuts. So,
look, if you are a fan of one of the best Spider-Man runs ever, which is Fearful Symmetry, you will immediately know exactly what that card does. And an astute observer will realize why that card is both amazing and probably not useful outside of a very specific scenario. That's all I'm saying.
Love it. So everyone listening, go pick up that comic run right now. Get on
That's right. Figure it out. We showed the art for it
at
Mini Stravaganza during the art panel. So between the art and understanding what the story is,
yeah, you already know what that card does.
I feel it's like great. Now the rational person will say, I think it would do this. And then the other rational part of their brain would say, but that would just be silly and probably not all that useful. And then the person who understands how we design games for fun would say, that's amazing.
I love it. I'm very excited. And unfortunately, I am running out of time right now. And I know you gentlemen are as well, because we were on a bit of a time crunch. But did y'all have any final words? I'll start with you, Pagani, about the banned and restricted list, and I guess maybe just how people should approach their games with this list, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it's as Schick always likes to say, or maybe I like to say, somebody likes to say it.
We are one. We are all Will.
Yeah,
that's true.
As A. Will likes to say it, if you're at home with your buddies and you're playing the game and you love to play Hired Muscle, you'll play Hired Muscle, right? Like, play Drop Off, play all these cards, right? If you're having fun with your game, that's what matters. And if you're not, then don't play with those cards, and that's cool too. But like, we're not gonna, there's no like banned and restricted police that are gonna fall out of your ceiling and arrest you for playing with any of these cards or playing with three restricted cards, right? Do what you like, enjoy your game, have fun.
I love it. Schick, final words from you, sir.
You know, I think in the end, it's important to always keep in mind that what we are doing, or what we are trying to do as both a community of players and as a studio that makes a game, is to create a really unique way to come together with other people in a very tactile and physical way, like across the tabletop, and to do what humanity has been doing for their entire lives, which is to tell stories together. To create experiences, which evolves into fun, right? We love telling the tales, and we get to do so playing in a world that is exciting and awesome, and that we've potentially been involved with since we were some age, whether you were 6 years old and got your first Spider-Man comic, or you just discovered the Marvel Universe in the last 10 years or the last 6 months. It doesn't matter. It's important to always remember, and I stress this more and more because I'm getting like old and probably too philosophical about things, but it's important to remember that the game isn't what happens on the table. The game is what you do with the other person.
100%.
And as long as you keep that in mind and you remember that there's another player there and that's where the fun is coming from, you don't need a banned and restricted list. You don't need anything, because you will have fun. Because that's where the fun comes from, is interacting with this other person in this shared environment, in this shared experience. So always remember, the game isn't what happens on the table. The game is what happens above the table.
Yeah,
and if you can do
really
that, I think
that.
Like, you know, you're just going to be so much happier, and the community is going to be robust, and it's going to be exciting, and it's just going to be awesome. Just be awesome to each other. And the immortal
be
words
of, to each other.
Yeah.
I love it. You know, Bill and Ted, the wisdom that came from that.
Exactly.
Know, it's always good. Well, gentlemen, I really appreciate y'all giving me the opportunity to talk with y'all again and chit chat and all that stuff. It's always, always, always an enjoyable experience. And I can't speak for the community at large, but I'll speak for myself here in that I love the job that y'all have done with this game. I think every new release, every new reveal, I can look at and say, This is cool. This is going to be fun. I can't wait to use it. And from a balance perspective, everything, I got to say, I very much enjoy it.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you very
we
much.
We do too.
We appreciate it. I always love listening to the hot takes on the next House Party Protocol episode. So,
hey man, we got one coming on Thursday for Iron Fist and Luke Cage. So be ready.
Fantastic. I'm there already.
I'm ready.
Well, party on, Will.
Party on, Will.
Party on, third Will.
And power down suits.